Chapter 19, The Silver Fate. Lord and Lady Kilhaven, I hope this message finds you well. Having landed in the perfect spot, I found a treasure to share with those who would appreciate it. The attached scion, Alicia Alibrand, is an orphan and a survivor of the most violent and bloody circumstances. I hope you see the strong spark within her. I'm asking a bold favor and seeking a position for Lizzie in your household, pending her eventual enrollment in Schola Sicana. As you can see, she still has several years to go before taking the oath of a Sanctionite, and her well-being means everything to me. I would suggest regular visits with Morgana Zhao of Ordo Hereticus. I feel they have talents along the same line. Please forgive my choice of servants for this unexpected delivery. I would have preferred to make the trip myself, but duty calls me elsewhere. Signed, your distant son, Lieutenant Savant Peric Kilhaven. P.S. Lady Kilhaven, I met my brother, and he wasn't so surprised to see me after all. Thank you. One didn't approach a warp witch, druid, or demon host directly and expect success. Instead, you move sideways, lighting up their night or ruining their day, giving them a reason to chase you. The demon host was in Quartus. My path would begin in Tertius, the hive next door. There, I would stake my claim, hopefully drawing the attention of the Bloodthorn and its minions. Whether they viewed me as a trap or a challenge, I would force them to respond. I changed my mind about one important aspect of my mission. That it had fiery auburn hair and lips locked onto mine was beside the point. Keegan Bass knew what I was about to tell her, that I was leaving her behind. It didn't take a genius or a psychic reader to make sense of my face or the message it contained.
"Why?"
she whispered. I had crawled into our cot, hoping to capture a bit of sleep before the blistering day ahead, and I didn't have a ready answer. One could blame Lord Manicera or his orders, but I saw sense in his edict and was given the freedom to act as I saw fit. I simply didn't want anyone near me when I landed in the lair of the Bloodthorn, especially not Keegan Bast. It would be an enemies-only affair, and I needed the space to work. Could I tell all that to Keegan? "Feth, no. I need a favor," I whispered back. "Five is about to lead an expedition to Tertius, and he needs someone to catch him when he falls."
"What does that mean?"
"I need the Firehead to resume her place in the underhive of Tertius, and I need Warrant Bass to help me burn a few things along the way."
"Tempe says you can't make up your mind. She thinks you're an overhive whelp that'll leave me behind now that you've gotten your commission. She even bet me on it."
I was an overhive whelp. This wasn't about where I was from, but rather where I was going. Keegan crossed her arms, waiting for my reply. I didn't take the bait. "Is that what happened with Lucian Cano?"
"Why would you ask that?"
"Because he used you, hurt you, stole your power, and walked away. He practically bragged about it." I'd bitten my tongue throughout that whole encounter in Secundus. Keegan reddened at the truth.
"Are you about to do the same to me?"
I couldn't lie to her. "It depends on how you look at it. I was thinking about sneaking out like a coward."
"Really? What changed?"
"I need you to be safe and whole, which I know sounds ludicrous in the middle of a war, but I also need you to be powerful enough to protect me when they cut me off again."
"You think that's going to happen?"
"It will, and they'll be right to do it."
"Who are they?"
"The Inquisition, Manticera or Agrimont. Take your pick."
"Those feathers."
"They know what they're about, and it pisses me off too."
"What's going on?"
"I've gotten orders to hunt the Bloodthorn in Quartus, and I need a backstop free from the grip of the Inquisition. The Ogryn aren't your protectors as much as they are your wardens and mine. If you come along with me to Tertius, they will as well. I need you to take unbending control of them before I return to the Tertius Underhive. That's all I can say on the matter."
"It's Lord Manticera, isn't it? He's been steering this fiasco all along."
"It's been a team effort between Malleus and Hereticus, and I think it's time we followed suit."
"In Secundus, I felt like we connected. Was that real?"
"I'd never done or experienced anything like that before." Keegan was the cosmic opposite of Mersina, my ex, in every way. Keegan's fiery soul called to me like nothing else I'd ever known, and I struggled to accept the meaning of it all. "If I said yes, would you promise to forgive me?"
"For what?"
"I'm not Lucian Cano. I'm a nightmare waiting to happen." Her face darkened, and she took a step back, saying,
"It was real for me."
The feeling was real for me, too, and that scared me more than any demon host. I couldn't say another word, so I merely nodded, leaving our conversation undone. Warrant Green summoned his entire company for the meet and greet. He knew there was something big being planned in the upper echelons of the guard, and hoped to get an idea of how deep they would need to dig to get out of the line of fire. I'd sent Lieutenant Hedrock off in search of a commissar, allowing me to speak more candidly to Company F of the Fulcrum 10th's 1st Regiment, 1st Division. For those that haven't met me, my name is Silver, and I'm one of the Fulcrum Four Fates. The Inquisition calls me Five, and the Imperial Guard calls me Lieutenant Kilhaven. For those that have met me, you know what I can do to ruin your day. But that's not why I'm here. I introduced Warrant Bast as my second and explained our destination. As donations of the Inquisition, most of F Troop had come from an underhive on Fulcrum 4 and was completely familiar with the politics and power struggles that were about to occur. Besides that, not a single soldier was reluctant to leave the grotesque life of a trench dweller. Instead of a volunteer platoon, I ended up with the whole company, 100 troopers hoping to stand under a single desperate umbrella. Lastly, I asked Keegan for a small demonstration of her power, topping off my reserves and cementing her standing among the fates. She would be in charge when we reached our destination. Women were rare among the ranks of F Troop. Most of the female fates had been working in the more popular sectors of Sub-Zero when I'd taken down Green's crew guarding the underhive of Hydra Secundus. There were always benefits to working for Silver, and I'd made that point clear at the start. Lieutenant Hedrock arrived in time to get the good news. He would stay behind to sort the gap in the regiment's duty schedule. Junior Commissar Geronimo Passingen took my friendly greeting in stride. When asked to join our parade to Tertius, he signed up without a hitch. Passingen knew the path we would take and its tedious nature, but word had filtered through the lines of a new threat on the horizon, and he was growing tired of carrying out executions. My last call was the toughest, and always would be. Keegan and I entered the barracks of the Imperial Guard Savant Platoon, my platoon, and called on the arc leads of the Black Flame. The fact that it was the only Psyker platoon didn't simplify my decision. The Guard had gotten one thing right in their Savant-related designs. Our minds were wired together through channeling implants, but that didn't mean we could read each other's thoughts. We still had to buckle up and face our realities together. "Hello, Tempe. I hear you've been making bets." I grasped Keegan Bass's hand for effect. "Are you ready to pay up?"
"Feth you, Silver. You've been keeping us at arm's length, so why not her?"
I could have pointed out Keegan's lack of channel implants, but that wasn't what Tempe Azar was asking. "If I didn't know better, I'd think you were trying to get my attention." Tempe shrugged.
"I heard that bad things are coming this way, things that a militant savant isn't suited to handle."
"Tempe, Kane was right. There was a rogue Primaris. I brought back the bastard's force sword last night."
"The one that killed Rasa?"
"Yes. I burned him to a crisp in Gaul Secundus. He was Keegan's ex."
"I knew Bast was Feth all for picking her men. I even bet her on it."
The fact that Warrant Bast was still holding my hand made little difference to Tempe Azar. "Tempe, you were half right. Can we call us even?"
"That depends on why you're here."
"We have new orders. Bad things are coming this way. Things that a militant savant isn't suited to handle."
"But you are."
I turned around, showing off my lieutenant's rank insignia. "They don't give these to just anybody."
"You landed a commission? How?"
"My name isn't Perrick Silver. It's Perrick Kilhaven."
"Like the Dean of Sykano on Terra?"
"House Kilhaven exists on many worlds, but yes, I'm a noble scion. My family lives on Fulcrum 4, and my brother is a major in the Fulcrum 10th Legion, 1st Division." Tempe smiled.
"I was more than half right."
"If you point that out again, I'll deny it. Names are important. I'm still Silver when it comes to this company, and when I'm not Silver, I'm Five."
"Was he as pretty as you?"
"Who?" I said.
"The rogue Primaris."
Even with blood decorating his face, he had Keegan's full attention. Warrant Bast had heard enough and took over.
"Militant Azar, there's nothing pretty about a pile of black dust or the bastard that made it. Collect the arcs and get ready to move out."
"What about the bad things?"
"We'll discuss them on the way."
And just like that, the decision was made for me. We followed the same ungodly narrow service tunnel to the northeast. I'd scouted it in astral form and found it clear except for the far end, which had a dozen uniformed wall hangings coated in a dusty silver. Captain Finn and company had come along as expected, leading the way forward while Commissar Passingen brought up the rear. I asked Geronimo if Stragglers 101 was a class taught at the Schola Progenium. He denied it, saying that it was all part of a cadet's marksmanship training. In between the Commissar and Captain Finn, the Savant Company and F Troop mingled. I took the time to plan our first move with Warrants Green and Bast. I confirmed the rumored berserkers of Ator and the threat they held for the Imperial Guard's advance. Meeting a cardinal threat of chaos out in the open would be too great a risk for Keegan or my arcs. I needed them elsewhere, buried deep. Keegan would be reclaiming the Underhive and sealing it off. Warrant Green would be lending her his support along with his purples, yellows, and reds. The fates of F Company had color-coded auras that matched certain augmented traits. The purples were strong and tough. Many of the nimble blues were crack shots with a sniper's long laser rifle. Reds channeled pain in the form of raw warp energy. Green auras denoted readers or precogs, but rarely both. And yellows moved bioelectric current at a whim. They weren't psykers, but each had a permanent warp-driven spell cast upon them that gave them a rare talent. A dozen blues were assigned to the wide-open spaces between Tertius and Quartus. Being fast and deadly at range, they would act as snipers and watchers for the bad things to come. It was the best we could do. The rest of F Company would follow Keegan into the Underhive. Everywhere there had been a blood glyph. Silver glowed to overcome it, but insanity still ruled in Tertius. The local activity was sparse and skittish, almost feral. Cadavers and the buckets remained on display throughout Ground Zero. There was a smoky sweet smell in the air, as if the recyclers were being overworked, or the air handlers simply weren't keeping up, as the city tried to burn its way out of a nightmare. We trekked toward the center of Ground Zero in a loose formation, searching for a working lift downward. Kane's telekines pushed the scattered corpses into stacks, allowing Keegan and I to incinerate hundreds at a time with barely any effort. It would take months to reclaim the hive in full and years, maybe decades, to regain a semblance of rational living. Everywhere, a silver sheen countered the markings of a curse, putting an end to the tears of blood. Scattered Adeptus Arbitus patrols ranged the hive sectors in a bid to assess and restore order, knowing they could always retreat to a safe haven if things didn't go as planned. The gang bosses still reigned supreme throughout most of the lower hive, but the daily buckets of terror had disappeared along with the cultists and their traitor guard. Upper hive dwellers were being expelled from the subterranean sectors. Many had already crossed Ground Zero in a bid to return home, but elevation wasn't everything. They would have their own shocks to deal with as they sought to regain control of the massive city. In my mind, the Imperial Guard couldn't get here soon enough to jumpstart the process. The Central Service lifts were unlocked, giving us a faster trip down to Sector 85B. The floors and walls of the entire hive bloomed with a silver sheen, but it was even stronger at its source, one step above the Underhive. It felt like a thousand eyes upon my back as we trod the avenues on our way to the Underhive's single, barricaded entrance. After a terse conversation with a pair of wayward arbiters and a flashing of my Malleus badge, only the Firehead, Warrant Green, and two Ogryn bodyguards would be going in. Nobody would deny the Firehead access to the Hive's lowest sector, but whether they allowed her to rule or remain was another thing. Her standing wasn't an absolute. Still, if the negotiations went as planned, she'd be as impervious as the polysteel foundings upon which the hive sat and as crucial to its survival. Why was I letting Keegan Bast go in without me? It was all about trust and the fact that I needed a nap. I trusted Keegan to do the right thing. I didn't trust the Underlord to negotiate in good faith, and I wouldn't be around for long to foster his respect. Other darker creatures beckoned. Ghosting ahead of Keegan's small party, I scouted for an ambush that never appeared, at least not until Keegan arrived at the Underhive court of Lord Dampier Bendix. Bendix was in his prime, mid-30s, fit and handsome in a pale-eyed sort of way. He'd reclaimed his position as Underlord. A string of a dozen hellguns split to either side of his perch in the boss's main hall. As a former temple of the Ecclesiarchy, it had been gutted of all things imperial except for the high-hung windows. The light behind those had certainly dimmed in everyone's mind. As Keegan's group entered the long hall, another dozen hellguns followed them in and shut the door. This would be a private affair with one uninvited ghost. I circled the meeting, draining charge packs as introductions were made. The Underlord made it clear from the start that this was his domain and that the lease of Lord Mandisera had expired. It had been a one-time-only deal. Keegan explained that Tertius would soon be under new management and that the war was far from over. A safe haven was needed until further notice.
"Whose notice?"
said Bendix.
"Mine,"
said Keegan.
"We're not afraid of the Inquisition. If they wanted to drop the Hive, they would have done it by now, and we're not afraid of you."
Every Hellgun took aim. As a negotiating tactic, I thought it lacking in effort. Keegan Bast ignored it completely.
"Lord Bendix, think of it as a favor. Tertius has been cleansed, but the Bloodthorn is bound to return. When it does, it will be coming straight here."
Bendix looked around the hall, trying to see something that wasn't there.
"Lord Mantisera said the same during our earlier negotiations, but as far as I can tell, he barely kept my seat warm. Do you think you can do better?"
"Lord Bendix, what are you suggesting?"
"I'm not afraid of blood cults or the Firehead, but my bed could certainly be warmer. Are you in or out?"
Snaking his way beyond the bounds of simple business, Bendix grinned when he shouldn't have. His 24 armed guards collapsed in a heap. Not a single shot was fired. I'd hit them hard, but most would wake up, eventually. As for Bendix's seat, it was about to heat up big time. Keegan whispered,
"Good hunting,"
letting me know that she would take it from there.